You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
The Road Accident Fund is seemingly not budging on its refusal to apply an accounting policy as required by the Auditor General, which would see its liabilities balloon. In its annual results for the year ending March, the RAF reporting liabilities of 36 billion rand as determined by the accounting methodology used by the organisation. Well, we're in conversation now with Makintosh Polela, who speaks for the fund. And first of all, let's start with this, and there are lots of issues to discuss. The Transport Minister Barbara Creasy calling on you to develop a plan to decrease the backlog of cases currently clogging the court roll in the Gauteng division of the High Court. Is there a plan, and when is it going to be delivered?
Look, it's something that we had already started doing. We had already started meeting with the lawyers. We had two meetings with the Black Lawyers Association to work out a plan where we settle a lot of cases that are close to settlement, but for some reason we haven't got a full complement of documents, because you must understand that as a social benefit, for us to be able to process claims, we need to get a full complement of documents. We've got a lot of people who have submitted claims, but without the required ID book, your accident report, or your comprehensive health report. So those are the things that we were working on already. So the plan that you're talking about is currently in the works, and it's going to be delivered to the minister, so that we make it clear to the minister that there are things that we are working on to be able to clear the backlog. But we also had a backlog campaign that we started in April, which is going very well, where we're sensitizing people to say, you need to go to your lawyers and submit all the documents, because you must understand that 97% of our claims are coming through by way of representation from lawyers, and only 3% are people coming directly to us. So that plan had already started before the minister, started as Minister of Transport, but it's just a matter of doing a couple of additions with the lawyers that we're working with, and to make sure that we clear the backlog. And those cases that have been referred to the court, that they go by way of settlement.
All right, let's move on to another issue, a proposed shift away from lump sum payments to annuity-based payouts. Why is this being proposed, and what would the impact be both on claimants and the overall financial health of the RAF, which you'll concede is in a fairly parlous state?
So the reason that we are doing that is because it is almost impossible for us to be paying lump sums to everybody who has claimed and still remain in a healthy financial condition as an entity. So as part of the RAF Bill of 2023, what we proposed when we sent the bill to Parliament in October last year was exactly that, amongst other things, to say that we need to pay people an installment, our claimants an installment, that will allow us to be in a fairly healthy financial condition, in the case that lump sums chew up on a lot of our financial resources. In this case, we have paid, as we announced, around 45 billion, but we still owe around 8.3 billion in claims that need to be paid. And that is not sustainable. And if and when we pay in annuity, it will keep us in a fairly healthy condition, but that, as well as getting rid of the DILACT system, which is a litigation-based system where people have to be represented by lawyers, because we pay billions of rand to lawyers. In 2020, we were paying around 12.8 billion. We have reduced that to around 13.8 billion, but we need to come to a point where we save all that money and redirect it to claimants.
Further to your financial difficulties is that the RAF now wants to exclude individuals who can afford separate cover. Why? What criteria would be used? And how is this going to affect the fund's financial outlook?
Look, the argument here is that you and I, Jeremy, can afford to get cover for ourselves, because we are in a better condition. We are the lucky ones. However, RAF covers all and sundry. Whether you are middle class, rich, or you are a billionaire, it covers you. And that's not fair to, the people that need this money the most. And so the argument is, you and I can afford to pay our own cover using a private entity. Why are we dipping into a social benefit? We don't need this social benefit as the people that can afford it. It needs to be going or redirected to the people that cannot afford it.
That's a very generalist approach. I mean, you're suggesting that a certain strata of people can afford it. They might say, absolutely not, and it's my right to claim on the RAF.
Of course, and that is a sound argument. But we are not saying that the middle class should not be covered. But there are people who can afford to cover themselves. The rich can afford to cover themselves. And so why are they being covered by the RAF? We pay the rich a lot of money. The rich, when they say, I have had loss of earnings, it means that we have to pay hundreds upon hundreds of millions of rands. And that's not something that can be enjoyed by poor people. The person that we paid the most was a foreign national that we paid almost a billion. That almost a billion could have paid thousands of people.
All right. So who are the rich, in your opinion, and what criteria would be used to determine eligibility?
That is still in the works, and we're going to come up with a proposal to say people in this kind of pay grade, you know, should not be covered by the RAF. But rich people, for now, we're just saying should not be covered by the RAF.
You do appreciate that this will be taken on review, no doubt.
Indeed, we do appreciate it, as everything that is as drastic, as far-reaching. But it's a conversation that we need to have nonetheless.
Now, you're in trouble because of your refusal to apply international financial reporting standards as required by the Auditor General. How do you justify your current accounting methodology?
We justify that because we're not an insurance, we're a social benefit. An insurance is where the person that needs to cover it pays every month an annuity so that in the case that, you know, they get involved in an unfortunate incident, then they get covered by that insurance. We are very, very different. The people that claim from us are not the people that pay at the pump. You pay at the pump. I pay at the pump because I'm the driver. But if I'm involved in an accident and somebody gets injured, that is a passenger, the road accident fund covers you as the wrongdoer so that you don't get sued by the passenger. The only time that a driver can claim from the road accident fund is when it's not his mistake, it's another driver. And in that case, it's the wrongdoer and the other driver becomes the victim. And that's how we justify it. We are not an insurance.
It seems the Auditor General, though, has a very different view. How are you going to resolve this?
We're going to have to resolve it somehow. Now we are at the courts, but we are also having meetings and we're talking about it. And at the end of the day, one of us has to yield. We were classified as a social benefit a long time ago. And so we are having these conversations, and it's one of the matters that at some point has to come to finality. And we are looking forward to that matter being put to bed. We are talking to the Auditor General and all the stakeholders that have an interest in this. We are at the courts, but at some point, we need to settle.
But you're in a bit of difficulty because you've got an adverse opinion from the Auditor General on your latest financials, and you've got to address concerns around accounting practice while maintaining your current accounting approach. A difficult one to resolve.
It is a very difficult one to resolve. When it comes to the Road Accident Fund, what has been happening over the decades is that it has always been a balancing act. It started opening its doors in 1946. It has had no less than 7 commissions of inquiry. It has gone through several bankruptcies. And around 1986, it ceased to be an entity of the private sector and it was handed over to the state. But what happened is that it was handed over as a poisoned chalice. And in its structural existence, as it is now, it is unsustainable. And hence, we are saying a lot of things that have to be changed at the Road Accident Fund, including the way that we have said in that we need to get rid of the lawyers. We need to stop paying foreign nationals. We need to start paying people annuity and a lot of things that we have put as a prayer on the RAF Amendment Bill of 2023.
McIntosh Polela, thank you very much indeed, speaking for the Road Accident Fund.